There are some amazing things to be seen in our world, aren't there? Spectacular, awesome demonstrations of God's creative power. I've never been to Victoria Falls. I don't suppose I'll ever get there now, but for those who have done so, tell me it's quite a sight, a splendid sight. I've never seen the Northern Lights either. Though I would love to one day, perhaps. But again, it's just a wonderful demonstration of some of the beauties and the glories of our world that God has created. Splendid things to be seen. But I sometimes wonder what it would have been like if it were possible to have been present on that day when God created the heavens and the earth. To have a grandstand seat at that amazing demonstration of God's skill and awesome power in creating this vast universe, which is a testament to his glory. That would have been something to see, wouldn't it? And maybe even to just listen in to the consultations between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as they discussed how it was they were going to bring this universe into being. That would have been such a privilege, wouldn't it? But nobody was there. Not even dear old David Attenborough, who seems to have been around forever, but he wasn't there. Although it hasn't stopped him telling us with great authority what happened 200 million years ago. But he wasn't there. And nobody was there. Nobody was there to witness this 6 days of amazing creation that God brought into being when he spoke the words, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." But staggeringly, there is something which is comparable. I just think the apostle is so incredibly bold here, but he doesn't hold back. He comments on God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, but he says he's shone in our hearts. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts, to give the glory, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." He doesn't hold back from actually comparing what God did on that first day of creation with what he does and has been doing throughout the centuries of human history and is still doing today, and what he has done in the lives of many of you here this morning. Compares the two amazing demonstrations of his power and his glory. The light that shone then, he shines now in the hearts of men and women. I just want you to spend a moment and just look round at one another. And just let your mind get hold of this. What you are seeing are demonstrations of miracles, of what God has done in their lives. And I think it's just important for us to have that perspective on one another, because sometimes, I don't know, we can be quite dismissive of one another, can't we? Sometimes even critical, let's be honest about this. And yet for every believer here this morning, that is what God has done. And Paul is quite happy to compare it with what God did then when he said, "Let there be light." And that is just staggering, isn't it? And I'm not certain that we've ever fully grasped that. I don't think I have, really. But just to stop and think for a moment, what I'm looking at this morning ordinary men and women, sinful men and women at that, who are themselves living demonstrations of the creating power of Almighty God that brought the universe into existence. And that is just so, so amazing. So, just take a moment to look around at one another, will you? And you might be sitting next to somebody who is themselves a wonderful testament to God's incredible skill and creative power. And if we can just get hold of that for a while, it would alter perhaps our outlook on things, our outlook on one another, the way we relate to one another. Because, you know, let's be honest, church life is not always sweetness and light, is it? And we can very quickly see that little speck in somebody else's eye and ignore the huge plank that's in our own eye. We could easily do that. And we need to just be careful about that. Of course, we are given a power, some power of making judgments, and but it's how you exercise that judgment, isn't it? You know, if it is just an opportunity that's going to make you feel a bit better in yourself, because you can see all the faults in somebody else, and you think, I'm not like that. I don't think that's the right way at all, is it? So, just look again. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in their hearts. The same power. The same creative skill. Well, let's just explore this a bit this morning, because I think it's worth a deeper look. So we look at what it was then, in those first moments, before God spoke the words. And it is true that there was darkness there. There was darkness, we read, upon the face of the earth. Darkness. And then God spoke, and there was light. And he set the sun in the sky and the moon by night, and the glorious splendor of the stars, and light shone into the darkness. That there was darkness. But as the light shone in those days of creation, God made a perfect world. And then in that perfect world, he created a perfect garden. And in that perfect garden, he placed a perfect man and a perfect woman. And that has to be true, because God can't make anything that is less than perfect, can he? He wouldn't be God. So that's how it was. So light embraced the whole situation. But the man and the woman, you know the story. Such a tragedy. They listened to the voice of the seducer, and they disobeyed God, and spiritual darkness fell upon God's creation, fell upon their hearts. Whole new set of feelings that were not there before. Took what they knew. They were embarrassed about their nakedness, and they were afraid of their God, whom they loved to commune with. They were afraid of him, and they hid themselves. If anybody can hide from the all-seeing eye, but it just shows, you see, how thinking gets all skewed when there is darkness in the heart. And that same darkness has descended upon every single member of humanity ever since. And it is part of our nature. And Jesus recognized that. He said, light has come into the world, but men chose darkness rather than light. They preferred the darkness. With this... totally mistaken idea that somehow the darkness hides us from an all-seeing God. But it exposes us. Darkness in our hearts, spiritual darkness. And of course, sometimes it demonstrates itself in the extreme, doesn't it? So that there are men going about killing one another in our world, totally indiscriminately. with hatred and violence, and there are lives which are broken in our nation as the extremes of what the darkness has done begin to show themselves even in those who live their lives relatively respectably, like all of you do, of course. You know, the little deceits, the little selfishness, the little acts of rebellion against our God. You know what I mean. It's the darkness that has fallen upon us. And of course, it is that, isn't it, which the evil one exploits. And Paul mentions that, doesn't he? He says, he's talking about this gospel, which is light. But he says about those for whom there is a veil upon their understanding, whose minds, he says, the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. That is his commission. That is his one great aim. There is the glory of God to be seen, even in the lives of men and women. But he has this absolute determination to do what he can to bring down this God who he hates, and he seeks to do so by blinding the eyes of those who see what God has done and yet cannot see it. And that is just such a tragedy, isn't it? Because all around us are these wonderful evidences of God's power and skill and glory, and they can't see it. Can't see it, because the God of this age has blinded them. And he exploits the darkness that is in the nature of every human being from the moment of conception. He exploits that darkness, and he uses then the pernicious influences of the world to exacerbate the darkness. And so he drags them down into the ultimate darkness, where he wants them to be, because this, he feels, is going to cast God down from his throne. The darkness that is there. It may be this morning then that I'm looking at some people who are still in that darkness. I don't know that. You will know that, though. I don't know it. Then it's not for me to even make any sort of suggestion as to who of you might be in that sad and sorry condition. But you see, maybe there's a little evidence here. You see, when I suggest to you that what God has done in the lives of maybe the person sitting next to you is to be compared with what God did when he created the universe, you said that's preposterous. That is way over the top. That is absolute, utter nonsense. It's going too far. And that, I would just suggest to you, is a hint that maybe the God of this world has blinded your mind. Because he doesn't want you to see the truth. He doesn't want to see you. The amazing thing God has done in that person. Maybe in your home, in your family, in your household. Doesn't want you to see it. And if that may be how you're feeling this morning, then that might be just an indication, mightn't it, that the darkness is still there. But I want to tell you that there will be those sitting here this morning who don't think it's incongruous at all that the two things should be compared in that way. And they glory in it. And they rejoice in it. And that could be you. That could be you this morning. To share in that same sense of wonder. Why me, of all people, can be compared with what God did when he said, let there be light. Me of all people, you could be part of that. The darkness that was there, but then the light that shone, you see, and God said, let there be light. And glory burst into the darkness. It's something that God did then, and it's something that God still does today. And do you know how he does it? There was a man sent from God whose name was John, not me. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And later on in that ministry, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That is the light that shines in the hearts of believing men and women. The light has shone into their hearts, dispelling the darkness. And it shows itself. There will be differences in detail, won't there? Because all our experiences are different. But in my own case, grew up in a Christian home. And many of you will have had that privilege. And so this book has been familiar to you, perhaps, from early days. And you were told stories from it at home or in Sunday school. A familiar book, and you read it, you looked at it, parts of it from time to time. But then somehow this book takes on a whole new complexion. Because the light has shone in, and now suddenly it becomes, yes, the very voice of God himself speaking to you. Never saw it like that before. But the light has burst in. Or maybe those old familiar hymns, you know, that you know so well, to those old familiar tunes, and you love singing them. But now they've become true expressions of an experience of God. A true outpouring of praise and worship. That's what's happened, because the light has shone in. And this person, this Jesus Christ, this Jesus of Nazareth, whom you've known maybe from earliest days, he's become a real person. I never forget this. On one of our summer camps many years ago, I just overheard a group of about three lads talking. They were lads from non-Christian backgrounds, and they were just talking amongst themselves, and I overheard them. And you know, this is what they were saying. They said, you know, these people here really believe in the Lord Jesus. They really believe in him as a person. And I was just so delighted to hear that, because you see, that was an expression of the lives of those camp leaders. They were truly demonstrating the reality of the Lord Jesus to them. It wasn't always like that, was it? A familiar figure, but not like that. Not like a real person who's come into your life and walks with you and talks with you. A friend who comforts you and strengthens you. That's what happens when the light shines in. And it wasn't there before. So things look different. Heaven above is brighter blue. Earth beneath is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. That's what happens when the light shines in. And the testimony would be like that. Like that man, I love this man, he's so cheeky, isn't he? But he says to his detractors, once I was blind, now I see. That's the thing. Now I see. And so there's a whole different look at the world. The worldview has changed completely because the light there is in the hearts of those who've come to Christ. And there's also a different view of circumstances. They view circumstances different. They're not just some blind fate wanting to wreck everything for you. They see the kind and providential hand of God, even in the difficult things. And they look around them and they see their fellow believers and they rejoice in them. And they say, this is my Father who has loved them. And the light of the glory of God has shined in their hearts as it has in mine. That's what happens when the light shines in. And so the consequence then, the darkness that was there, and now the light has shone in, there is a new creation, just as it was then. Before there was nothing. The earth was out, form and void. And God spoke and the universe sprang into existence out of nothing. And that is exactly what has happened to believers who are here this morning. They have become new creations. See, there's another link, isn't there, between that Paul is happy to use without fear of being rebuked. The light that shone then has shone in the hearts of believers. And the new creation that sprang into existence has also happened in the lives of these men and women. They have become new creations. They don't look any different on the outside. There are no halos hovering over your heads. At least I can't see them if there are. You haven't got any wings sprouting from your shoulder blades. You look no different, but you are different. You are different, and it shows in all sorts of, one of the ways in which it shows is who they talk to. You see, here's a strange thing, isn't there? How much time we spend talking to somebody we cannot see, have never seen, and will never see. It's no wonder, actually, that the unbelieving world looks upon us as if we're crazy. Fancy spending all that time talking to somebody you've never seen. But that's what we do. We talk to God our Father with the absolute confidence that he hears us. And what we say to him is heard in the very courts of heaven itself. And what they read. See, this book, the last bit of this book that was written over 2,000 years ago. Or thereabouts. I mean, it's an ancient book. Well, there are many ancient books in the world. They're in dusty libraries. Very often, very rarely taken down from the shelves. At least there's some researcher wants to look into something. This book is in every home of every believer, and it's taken down and it's read regularly, day by day. This book, that's what marks them out as new creations. And what do they want to do more than anything as they live their lives? Well, they want to please God. That's how they live. They want to please God. They feel distressed when they feel they've let him down. And they beg for forgiveness then. That's what a new creation does. And the people they love to be with. So that there's real joy in just being here this morning. There is for me being with you. Because, you know, in the grace of God, in the mercy of God, we are new creations. Because we're in Christ. I wonder now if you feel slightly envious. That you think in your heart, I wish I could know that. I wish I could believe that. I wish I could be like them. I'd be absolutely delighted if you were asking yourself that question now. Because I can tell you how they came to know it. and it's not some unfathomable mystery. This is how it happened. They heard about the Lord Jesus. They read about him. Somebody told them about him. And they were told that he came to our world, though he was the Son of God. He clothed himself in a human frame, like yours and mine. And he came to our world, and he loved, and he taught, and he healed, and then he died. He was put to death. And then he rose again, 3 days later. And in that one life, that one glorious life and death and resurrection, they found hope to live. They found a saviour. They found that if they believed on him, trusted him, if they cast themselves upon his mercy, he gladly received them. He invited them to come, and they came. And he forgave them, and he became their saviour. That's what happened. It's not a great mystery. It's profound, but it's not a great mystery. And now they know that the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ has shined upon them. And you could know that. You really could. You could know it right now. It is just. I feel we love to hear about people getting converted, don't we? I mean, it's such a joy, but we can almost take it in a fairly matter-of-fact way. Oh, yeah, God has done that. All glory to God. And, you know, we trot out the words rather glibly and so on. You know, just stop and think. Nothing. God said, let there be light. And there was. This sinful man, this sinful woman, walking in darkness. And God said, let there be light. And they became a different person. And they're all around you. And it's just, mind-blowing, isn't it? So, you could be one of those this morning. You could. God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what's happened. Staggering, isn't it?